It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's yesteryear. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, Westerns. Later on, we'll hear a great story from the Gunsmoke series, also seen on TV. But right now, it's Hopalong Cassidy. Although star William Boyd had filmed about 60 motion pictures before the radio series, at the point of this broadcast, the TV version was still a few years away. The syndicated recording, released on March 21st, 1949, called An Old Spanish Custom.
It's Hopalong Cassidy. With action and suspense, out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The Ring of the Silver Spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy. This famous hero thrills his 60 million fans with action and dangerous adventure. In the role of Hopalong Cassidy is the popular star of the motion picture series, William Boyd. And now, another exciting story of the early West. An old Spanish custom. The late afternoon sun beats down on Hoppy and his grizzled old partner as they ride across Southern California, the golden land of the Dons and Spanish rancheros. Their thousand-mile cattle-buying expedition has left them dusty and weary. And as the afternoon wears on, Hoppy's increasing restlessness begins to get on California's nerves.
What in tarnation's eating you, Hoppy?
It's too quiet. Too doggone quiet.
Well, what do you expect? Senoritas serenading you in the sagebrush?
No, but I did expect to see a cow or two grazing the range hereabouts.
Well, shucks, we'll see plenty of that when we hit old Don Leone Ortega's spread. It won't be long now.
Won't it? How do you know?
Well, doggone it, Hoppy. Wasn't I Don Leone's top horse wrangler 9-10 years ago?
You were?
How'd you reckon I got the name California?
I heard it was because some slicker sold you a deed to a California gold mine that turned out to be in the middle of the San Francisco Bay.
Now, hold on. That ain't the only reason they call me California.
Oh, sure. I forgot. So you were Don Leone's top horse wrangler, eh?
You bet. Of course, being so long ago, maybe he won't even remember me.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. What kind of horses did he raise?
Oh, the fastest doggone critters you ever seen. Why, Hoppy, them horses were so fast that... let me tell you what happened once.
Mm-hmm.
I was riding an Ortega stallion about 50 miles from the hacienda one day with my pack burro trailing along behind when all of a sudden a cloudburst come a-rushing up behind me on top of a 60-mile hurricane.
Heavens to Betsy.
Well, sir, I just turned that pony's head for home, and doggone if he didn't race that storm so close, I didn't feel a drop. While my burro, only 10 yards behind, had to swim all the way.
California, haven't you any respect for the truth?
Oh, now, hold on, Hoppy. I value the truth as much as any man.
You must value it a lot more, the way you economize using it.
Oh, shucks, what makes you think I'm not telling the truth?
Well, for one thing, we're not heading for Don Leone Ortega's rancho.
What?
Because this is his rancho. We've been on his range ever since we came through the pass 12 miles back. And another thing. Why do you suppose he took the trouble to send a messenger all the way to the Bar 20, saying that his prize-blooded stock was for sale?
Well, didn't that messenger say the old man was selling out so he could retire to one of them missions?
But there are a lot of rancheros here who had been glad to buy him out. It was to me he offered to sell. That's why I'm buying him for the Bar 20, and for just about half what those cows are worth.
Well, why is he selling them to you?
Because 9 years ago, I was Don Leone's foreman.
You was?
Yeah. Well, and somehow, I don't remember seeing you around.
Well, maybe I got my ranchos mixed up.
Yeah.
But Hoppy, why should he want to sell out? Ain't he got no sons or no family to leave all this to?
No, he used to have, but they all died or were killed. When I finally quit, all he had left was one little granddaughter living with him. I always felt kind of sorry for old Don Leone. His fortune kept dogging his trail wherever he went. He used to say it was a curse put on his family by the victims of an old pirate ancestor of his.
A pirate?
Yeah, one of the buccaneers who used to rob shipping along the Pacific coast in the old days. Oh, Topper.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. What's the matter? What are you staring at?
Way off over there, standing against the sky atop of that ridge. See him? Mm-hmm. A rider.
Yeah. Hey, you can barely make him out. Just sitting there on his horse like he was watching us. Hey, must be one of Don Leone's men. We'll be getting a welcoming committee soon.
He's turned and disappeared down the other side of that ridge. If he was one of Don Leone's wranglers, he'd be heading for us to find out who we are and what we want.
Well, maybe he just ain't the curious type.
I don't know. He's the first living soul we've seen around here. And not a solitary cow in the whole place. I got a feeling there's something mighty funny going on here, California. Something I don't quite get. Well, come on, let's keep going.
Yeah, the sun's getting mighty low, Hoppy. We ought to be pretty close to the ranch house, don't you think?
We'll see it just as soon as we get atop this ridge. The hacienda, stables, and everything are in the valley below.
Whoa!
Ah, there she is, the hacienda. California!
Great jumping blue blazes. It's burned up. Everything's burned up. The stables, the corrals.
Everything except the hacienda itself, and that's made of adobe.
Not a soul anywhere. The place looks deserted.
Look there. Smoke still rising from the ruins. What must have happened just a few hours ago?
I wonder where everybody went. Let's go see.
Down.
That shot. It's come from the hacienda.
Yeah. Whoever survived the fire doesn't like visitors.
After arriving at Don Leone Ortega's California Rancho on a cattle buying expedition, Hoppy and California find that the old Don's stables and corrals are burned and the place apparently deserted. As they survey the desolate scene, a shot rings out from one of the broken windows of the hacienda. They fling themselves off their horses and hug the ground. Night has fallen. Hoppy and California plan their attack in the darkness.
California, you crawl around and take them from the north flank. I'll take them from the south. We converge on that window. When I reach my position, I'll give out an owl hoot. You answer so I'll know you've reached yours.
Right.
Then chuck a handful of stones against the hacienda. If they're jittery in there, they'll likely fire at the sound. And keep under cover.
Don't worry, Hoppy.
While they're attracted by you, I'll rush them. And you come around. Okay, let's go. Oh, no, you don't. Let go of that rifle, or I'll break your... Holy smoke, Wyatt.
Hold him, Hoppy! I got him covered. He got his rifle.
Take it easy, California. Everything's under control. Except that this isn't a him. It's a her.
What?
The Hame Bandito Matare.
Well, what do you know? A gal.
Keep your eye peeled. There may be others back there in the darkness. Now, easy, sweetheart. After that shot you took at us, I'm not in the mood for any friendly wrestling match. No use trying to break away.
Pig, let go of me.
So, you savvy English, do you?
Murders?
Murderers? It's her who just tried to murder us.
Now, wait a minute. Now, take it easy, honey. Maybe you ought to light a lamp so you can take a good look at us. I got a hunch you got us mixed up with some other hombres.
You are not with El Lobo?
El Lobo? Who is El Lobo? What's happened? Where's Don Leone?
Your voice. It is the same one I remember so long ago. Senor Cassidy, it is you, no?
Of course. My partner and I just...
I should have known. I should have known. We were expecting you, my grandfather and I.
Your grandfather, but who... You're not the little girl I used to see around when I ramrodded this outfit.
See, I am Isabella.
I reckon she had time to grow, Hoppy.
Honey, what's happened?
El Lobo. El Lobo and Don Carlos... They came with their men. We held them off. We defended the hacienda. But they burned the stables, the barns.
Who is this El Lobo?
He is a bandito.
A bandit? But where are all your grandfather's men? Where is everybody? You didn't fight them off alone.
No. There were the house servants, my duenna, my grandfather.
Yeah, but where are they?
Dead.
Isabella, you mean you're the only...
No, my grandfather, Don Leone, is still alive. He is badly wounded, Senor Cassidy, and cannot move. If we could get help before El Lobo return, and a medico, a doctor for my grandfather.
Where is he? Where is Don Leone?
He lies by a window on the other side of the house, on guard.
Hey, here's a lamp. You got a match?
No, do not light it. El Lobo and his men, they are watching from the hills.
Yeah, we spotted one of his boys on our way over here. You stand guard, California, while I find Don Leone.
Right.
Follow me, senor. Your hand. There are bodies lying here. Do not stumble.
It is a poor welcome that I give you, Senor Cassidy.
Don't try to talk, Don Leone. We're going to get you out of here.
No, it is too late.
No. No.
Don't they realize only you and Isabella are left to defend the place?
I do not think so. Isabella, she is a good shot. We killed many of his men before he retreated. He and that young swine, Carlos Esteban.
Carlos Esteban?
A renegade who has joined El Lobo. To think that once I thought I loved him.
Is this El Lobo so big he can declare war on you?
He is a gringo outlaw, amigo. He came here and organized this band of human wolves.
What if he's killed all your vaqueros, got all your stock? What more does he want? Why should he attack your hacienda?
It is Carlos Esteban who put him up to it.
But why? For what?
For the treasure.
Treasure? What treasure?
Long years ago, amigo, I buried a fortune in gold dust in a lonely place by the sea. Gold. Gold I had gotten in my youth by gambling, by cheating.
Cheating?
I was no angel, amigo, when I was younger.
How did Carlos know about this gold you had buried?
Isabella once told him. The map.
The what?
The map, there on the floor. I took it from its hiding place a little while ago, thinking to burn it.
You mean this?
You see, there is a small piece of candle beside you. Light it.
Right. There.
Look upon the map, amigo. It is all I have left. Gold. 1,000,000 pesos shining in shining dust. Buried in the sand by the roaring sea. Like pirate treasure. I was a pirate too. A pirate of the land, as my ancestor was of the sea. I buried it like a pirate. Sacks of gold dust and a rare brandy from Spain.
Brandy?
The custom of the Spanish buccaneers to bury wine with their loot so that when they should return, there should be drink to quench the thirst from the digging. Salute, tingo sete.
Easy now. Don't try to sit up. Lie back.
The custom. An old Spanish custom. Listen, amigo. Listen to me while I...
I see. It's really quite simple when you know the key to the code. Now, this figure indicates 15 paces from the base of the Santa Monica Cliffs to Don Leone. Don Leone. Dead. California!
Here they come!
Looks like we beat off that first rush.
Yeah, lucky this house is built on a little rise. We can see them as they come.
Keep your head down, California, and don't waste any shots. Mm. I'm going to the other side of the house and see how Isabella's making out. From the sound of that shooting, I...
What's the matter?
Look, somebody's waving something white out there.
Hello! Don Leone! For the sake of your granddaughter, stop fighting! I will make you an offer!
If that shirt you're waving is a flag of truce, throw your guns down and come in, alone.
There are my guns.
Keep him covered, California. I'll let him in.
Right.
uh,
Thank you for your hospitality, but it is dark in here, no?
We can accommodate you with a little candlelight inside. Watch your step.
See?
California, keep a sharp lookout for any funny business.
You bet.
These bodies on the floor. I am sorry so many have been killed, senor. Are you two all who guard this side of the hacienda?
I'll write you a detailed report later.
Don Leone Ortega's on the other side, eh?
Senor Cassidy, what has happened? Who is that?
Keep your post, Isabella. We have a hostage.
Hostage?
What is it? Who is? Carlos.
Isabella, are you alone here?
Murderer.
Oh, the old man is dead, eh? If Don Leone would be so foolish as to get himself killed...
All right, what is it? What do you want?
Nothing very important, senor. All we wish, El Lobo and myself, is to look through the hacienda. Is it not a pity? All this bloodshed just to deny us a simple thing like that. You are free to go, senor, you and your friend. We have no quarrel with you. All I wish is to... What is that?
Huh?
On the table.
No, you don't. I'll take that.
The map! It is the map! Give it to me!
Aren't you forgetting yourself, Carlos? You are barely a guest here.
That map, senor, that is what we are looking for. I warn you, I...
Senor Cassidy, I smell smoke.
Huh?
Hoppy, the roof's on fire.
Santa Maria!
While we talk, El Lobo shoots burning arrows into the roof on the blind side. Indian trick. The roof, she is dry wood, senor. The smoke, it gets thick, no?
Hoppy! I had to get out of there. The fire!
Hello, can you hear me?
See, I can hear you, El Lobo. So can they.
Are you coming out, friend? Or do you want the little lady to roast?
Do we all roast together, Senor Cassidy? Or do we surrender?
I would rather die.
All right, you win, Carlos.
No!
Throw down your gun, California. We have no choice.
Seized by the Yankee outlaw El Lobo, who is seeking a map of Don Leone Ortega's buried gold, Hoppy, California, and Isabella defend the Ortega hacienda through the night. While dickering on surrender terms with El Lobo's renegade lieutenant, Carlos Esteban, they discover that the roof has been set afire and they're forced to surrender. As dawn comes up, the bandit gang rides westward with three prisoners, Hoppy, California, and Isabella.
I'm sure glad they didn't tie us up.
They don't have to, not with their riders all about us. Isabella.
Si.
Pull yourself together, honey. I know it looks bad, but if we keep our eyes open, there may still be a way out of this.
Hey, we're stopping. Wonder what happens now.
We'll soon find out. Here comes Carlos and El Lobo himself.
How are you two operates like a little breakfast?
Morning, ma'am.
You see, El Lobo is not angry that you killed so many of our men. He likes you.
I'm handling this, Carlos.
Well, I only tried to help.
Vamos.
All right, I go.
You go in for robbery in a big way, don't you? Wagons, a remuda of spare horses, a gang of cutthroats.
I'm a big man in these parts, Cassidy. Now, there's a little information I'd like to get. I don't make much sense out of that map of Don Leone's. I can see it's a spot somewhere on the beach, but I don't savvy the writing. I got a hunch the little senorita can explain it for me.
I do not know. And if I knew, I would not tell you.
So? Tell her to think it over, Cassidy. We have a few hours before we reach the Pacific. If she still holds out on me by then, well, do I have to tell you what'll happen? Come on. Think it over.
Truth is, I do not know. I do not know.
Easy, Isabella.
We might make a dash for the remuda and grab some horses.
We'd be shot down before we got 10 yards.
Oh, the yellow varmint. Look at him sitting there at that campfire with them other polecats. Well, he's not even giving us any grub.
Isabella.
Carlos.
You did not think I had forgotten you, did you, amigos? Here, a bottle of wine to help wash the dust from the senorita's lovely mouth.
Puerco, I would as soon drink poison as a gift from you.
Perhaps I have made many mistakes, Isabella. But one thing I know. I love you, and I do not wish him to kill you.
Well, I'll...
Carlos!
El Lobo!
What the devil are you palavering about?
Just a friendly reunion, El Lobo.
Shut up, Cassidy. A bottle of wine, huh? Carlos, I told you...
I was trying to make it easier for you. I thought if
Cut your face! If there's any thinking to be done around here, I'll do it, you white-livered weasel.
You dare to talk to me like that? I show you...
Pull a gun on me, will you?
You killed him.
Yes, sweetheart. He was no good to me anymore. I got the map. Watch it, Cassidy. If you're thinking of jumping me, there's a dozen guns behind me that are covering you. Even if I should miss, which I won't. I reckon we won't wait till we get to the beach. I reckon you're going to tell me right now where that gold dust is, sister. Come here.
No! No!
Let her alone. I'll take you to the spot where Don Leone buried the stuff, and you can choke on it. But don't touch her, do you understand? Don't touch her!
The wagon driver, if you could snatch his pistol.
I'd be throwing all our lives away for nothing.
Santa Maria, Hoppy, do you not understand? If you let them have the gold, we shall be killed anyway.
We'll have to take our chances.
Hey, smell that salt air. We must be... Look, way off there.
See, the ocean, El Pacifico.
Well, it won't be long now. Fifteen paces. This should be the spot where Don Leone buried his stuff.
It'd better be. Miguel! Hey. Pablo! Hey. Take Cassidy back to those rocks with the other two and stand guard. Ambrose, grab those shovels. Dig! Dig for that coal! Dig now!
They found it. Don Leone's treasure.
Look at them. Passing up them bags of gold dust. Oh, how many of them are there?
The way they're handling them, those bags must be pretty rotten. Look, they're pouring the gold on that saddlebag.
Hey, they found something else. Look, they're passing up something that looks like...
Bottles of Spanish brandy.
Brandy?
Look, there's El Lobo coming this way. One of them bottles in his hand. If he comes close enough...
Don't try anything, I tell you.
Have a drink, Cassidy. Did you know that old buzzard buried this stuff with his swag?
Burying liquor with his gold is just an old Spanish custom. He's going to hold a fiesta when he returned to get it.
Fiesta? We'll hold it for him. Have a drink, Cassidy.
You said we could go. That gold was there. Call off your dogs and give us back our horses.
Kind of childish, ain't you, Cassidy? After killing nearly half my men. No, amigo. We ain't letting you go. Any of you.
You gave your word.
You're a bigger fool than I thought. So you don't want to drink with me, huh? When my boys get through lighting fires under you, it'll take more than good liquor to cool you off.
Poppy, the sun's going down.
Look at them, all lying on the beach, dead drunk.
Not all of them. El Lobo is still sitting there with the gold, singing.
Here, the bottle in one hand and a gun in the other. Hey, them waves are coming up almost to where he's sitting.
Yeah, the tide's rising.
What are we waiting for? He is too drunk to shoot?
I want to be sure.
Now look, he's fallen over on top of the gold dust.
This is our chance.
Hey, that big wave, it's going to break over him.
Come on.
It'll sweep the gold into the sea. Hoppy, it's gone. The gold's gone. Every grain of it washed away. I tried to grab a handful.
Gone.
You got a handful, all right. A handful of sand. Come on, help me drag this hombre where the next wave won't wash him out.
Forget him. Let us take the horses and guns and get out of here.
She's right. They won't sleep forever.
That's where you're wrong, California. They will.
What?
What do you mean?
If El Lobo had kept his word and let us go, I'd have told him.
Told him what?
What Don Leone told me just before he died. You see, he'd put that liquor there not for himself, but for anyone who should get there before he did. That's why he poisoned every bottle.
Goodbye from Hopalong Cassidy. Hoppy and California are hitting the trail homeward again, and after this little adventure, the Bar 20 is going to be a restful sight. Hope you enjoyed this friendly visit and that you'll remember to tune in next time these two fighting cowboys get involved in another thrilling escapade. Hop Along Cassidy, starring William Boyd, is transcribed and produced in the West by Walter White, Jr.
Hop Along Cassidy, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from March 21st, 1949. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, and now time for Gunsmoke, from August 30th, 1954 on CBS, a broadcast written by John Meston, starring William Conrad, Parley Bear, and Joseph Kearns as Obi Tater.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
He's got here, Quig. Fellow with all his money can afford a nice house, Mitch.
Here he is. Coming out of the barn.
Let's go have a little talk with him.
He ain't a very big fella. We shouldn't have much trouble.
Yeah.
Hello there. Get down and rest a while, man.
I'll get down. You stay mounted, Mitch.
Right, Quig.
Well, why don't you both get down? I got a pot of coffee on the stove in there, and I might scare up a little bacon if you're real empty.
We camped in them cottonwoods out there last night.
Well, you did. Well, why didn't you ride in? I could have slept you in the barn. I don't get much company out here.
I know. We've been watching the place. You're all alone here, ain't you?
I've always been all alone.
Obi Tater, huh?
Obi Tater, that's right, mister. But, how come you knowed my name?
Well, everybody's heard of you, Obi. Man that spends money the way you do gets kind of famous-like.
Oh, I don't spend money no more. That was when I first come here. Oh, I'm broke now.
Well, that ain't the way we heard it, Obi. We heard you drove a mule back from Sacramento, plumb loaded with gold double eagles.
Oh, that ain't so. $1,000 is all the gold I scratched out of California. And I spent it building this ranch. Sure don't know why people keep talking about how rich I am.
They'll quit talking soon enough, Obi.
What?
You ain't gonna be rich no more.
No, you sure ain't.
What are you talking about?
I'm gonna ask you real nice, Obi. Where you got that gold hid?
Now, wait a minute. What are you fellas up to?
You gonna tell us?
You come here to rob me, didn't you? Well, it ain't no use. There's nothing to rob.
I told you you wouldn't talk, Quade. We'll have to bounce it out of him.
Go ahead, Mitch. Take down your rope.
No. I ain't even armed. You can't hang me.
We ain't gonna hang you, Obi. We're just gonna give you a little ride, feet first. Go on, Mitch. Rope him.
No! Don't put that rope away. You ain't gonna drag me.
Yes, we are, Obi.
That's just what we're going to do.
Oh.
Adobe Tater. Oh, Chester. Marshal Dillon.
How are you, Obie? What brings you into Dodge?
Well, I had to see Doc Adams, Marshal.
Well, you are kind of peaked looking, Obie. You been sick?
No, I ain't been sick. Been hurt.
Hurt? Well, what happened, Obie?
3 weeks ago, Marshal, I like to died.
What'd you do? Did you fall off a horse or something?
No, I didn't. I got drug.
What?
Well, two fellas, they come by my place and they throwed a rope on me and they drug me across the prairie.
Well, who did? What for?
Well, I never seen them before, Marshal, but one was called Mitch and the other Quade. That's all I know about them.
Well, I never heard of no Mitch nor Quade around here.
Well, why did they do it, Obie?
Well, Marshal, you know how everybody thinks I come back from California with a lot of gold double eagles, and they say I'm rich. Oh, it ain't true, of course, but that don't stop them. They just go right on saying it.
Yeah, I've heard the talk.
So these two fellas, they wanted to rob me. I told them and I told them that I don't have no gold money, but they wouldn't believe me.
It's a wonder they didn't kill you, Obie.
Oh, they pretty near did, Marshal. I felt awful when they got through.
Do you think they'll come back?
They said they wasn't done with me yet. They said they'd find a way to open me up. It's a terrible thing, Marshal, being treated like that for no reason at all. And especially when you ain't even got no gold money.
Well, it's too bad the rumor got started in the first place, Obie.
I've tried to stop it, but you know how I am. I ain't very smart. I can't hardly sign my name, Marshal. Guess that's why I've always got job by any fast talker that comes along. All my life it's been like that.
Well, we can't stop what people think, Obie, but maybe we can find those two men. You think you'd recognize them?
Yes, I sure would, Marshal.
Okay. They just might be hanging around Dodge. Let's go look the town over, Obie.
Marshal Dillon, we must have been in every saloon and gambling house in Dodge. I'm getting foot sore.
Well, there are only a couple more, Obie. We'll try the Texas Trail here next.
Well, what are you going to do if we find them, Marshal? Come in jail?
Well, if there's enough left of them when I get through. Now, here we are. Okay, take a good look around, Obie.
They ain't at the bar. And, they ain't at the tables back there. Hey, couldn't we sit down a minute, Marshal? I'm awful tired. I guess I ain't got my full strength back yet.
Sure, Obie. We can sit down. Oh, let's go over there with Kitty and whoever that other girl is. Huh?
Oh, I'd like that, Marshal. I ain't heard a woman's voice in over a half a year.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Kitty. Oh, Kitty, this is Obie Tater.
Glad to know you, Obie.
Ma'am?
It's Miss Obie. And the same with Ella Mellish here. And this is Marshal Dillon.
How do you do, ma'am?
How do you do?
I'm glad to know you.
Oh. Sit down. Sit down.
Thank you.
That's an awful pretty name, Ella Mellish.
Thank you, Obie. Ella's new here. She's only been in Dodge about a week. I like it, though. I might even stay a while.
Oh. Well, that'd be nice. Sure hope you do, Ella.
Well, it depends.
Depends on what?
Oh, people, I suppose. If I meet somebody I like, I'll stay.
You will?
Sure. Why not?
Well, you meet somebody. Pretty girl like you.
You're nice, Obie. By the way, how you feeling now?
Oh, I'm fine. Doc Adams couldn't find nothing real wrong. He just said to take it easy for a while.
What's the trouble, Obie? You been sick?
No, it's not that. Couple of fellas come by my place and They treat me kind of rough. I'm okay now.
You look fine, Obie. You can't hurt a young man like you anyway.
Oh, I ain't very young no more, not pushing 60.
60? Well, I don't believe it. But you look more like 35 to me.
I do?
Well, of course you do.
Ella.
Yes?
I'd be proud to take you over to the bar and buy you a drink. Any kind of a drink you want.
Wait a minute now, Obie. We got a couple of more places to look
into. No, that can wait, Marshal. It ain't important. We'll do that tomorrow sometime. Will you, Ella? Come on, will you come?
Oh, I'd love to, Obie. And maybe you'll tell me about yourself. About in California and all.
Oh, that ain't nothing. I'd rather hear about you and how you come to Dodge.
Well, that sure didn't take long.
Ella Mellish, huh? What do you know about her, Kitty?
I don't know anything, Matt. Not really. I was a good talker, but she didn't say much about herself.
Did she come here alone?
As far as I know, she did.
Yeah. Does she have any friends here? I mean, have you seen her with anyone in particular?
No. I don't pay much attention to her. Why, Matt? Something wrong?
No, not yet, Kitty. But, there's sure gonna be. Hello, Doc. Come on in.
Oh, well, thank you. You found O.B. Cater yet?
Not yet, Doc, but Chester's out looking for him again.
Well, maybe you haven't tried the right places, man.
Oh, we've looked everywhere, Doc. He and that Ella Mellish just plain disappeared, both of them.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it. They'll be back.
Well, I hope so. Now, this is the second day they've been gone. I tried to talk to O.B. that first night, but he was acting like a man in a dream.
Oh, love's dream, Matt. Love, sweet young dream.
Doc, Obie Tater will never see 60 again.
Oh, age has nothing to do with him. I'm surprised that you don't understand these matters.
Oh, why should I? I can always come ask you about him.
Anytime, Matt, anytime. Be glad to advise you. There's many a pitfall I might save you from, too, if you come to me in time. And you may consider me like a father.
Like a father, huh?
Certainly.
Well, that's mighty nice of you, Doc.
Yes, the benefit of my experience is yours, Matt. Just any kind.
Good, good. Tell me, Doc, how does a man get out of New Orleans with two different husbands gunning for him?
Two husbands gunning for him? Why, it's the other New Orleans, two... Oh, my goodness, I must have been drunk. When did I tell you about that?
The same night you told me about how you come to leave Philadelphia.
Well, I did. Oh, well, that happened a long time ago. I don't appreciate your remembering that, either.
Here he is, Mr. Dillon.
What?
I found him. Come on in, Obie.
Obie Tater, it's about time you showed up again.
Well, what's all the fuss about? You think I was a criminal or something?
We've been worried about you, Obie. Where you been?
Honeymooning?
What?
Honeymooning. At the Dodge House. I paid the clerk $10 not to tell nobody we was there.
I didn't put up all the...
You mean you married Ella Mellish?
It was love at first sight, Marshal. I proposed to make her my wife, and I am proud to say she accepted me right off.
I never thought you'd go that far.
She's a fine girl, Marshal, a fine girl.
Is she, Obie? Well, I hate to say anything against your wife, but there's something I got to tell
you. You're jealous, Marshal. That's what you are. Shame on you.
Obie, if I'd known you were going to do this, I'd have made you listen to me the other night.
Well, say it out, Marshal. I got to get back to my bride. We're leaving for the ranch today.
Well, I'm half tempted to let you find out for yourself.
I'll find out what? What are you talking about?
Don't you remember the other night when you first met Ella Mellish, how she asked you if you were feeling okay again?
Now, ain't that just like Ella? All is considering other people, me in particular, I'm happy to say.
Well, while you're feeling so happy, tell me something. How come she knew you'd been hurt?
Huh?
You came here straight from Doc's that day, and nobody knew anything about what had happened to you except Doc and Chester and me. Now, who told Ella Mellish?
Well, I don't know. What difference does it make?
Oh, well, they listen to me. There's something wrong with Ella. I don't know for sure she's in with those fellas, Mitch and Quaid, but if she isn't, she's got explaining to do.
Marshal Dillon, Ella Mellish is now Mrs. O.B. Tater. And she don't have to explain nothing to nobody.
Oh, I give up.
She's a fine woman, Marshal, and I won't stand for no talk again.
Love's sweet young dream, huh, Doc?
It's like being loco, Matt. He can't hear you or anybody else.
except that girl.
Now, that's no way to talk about me. I thought you were my friend.
We are your friends.
Not anymore, you're not. You or Doc or Chester or nobody. Well, I got me a wife now, and I don't need you. You'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But I hope it isn't too late when we do, Ovi. And I hope you're still alive to see, too. I didn't know how Ella Mellish planned to do it, but she was a clever girl. And I was sure she had some way in mind to handle Obi Tater. What she didn't know, of course, was that he didn't have any money and that she was wasting her talents on him. And I was afraid that when she failed, Mitch and Quaid had come back and, well, this time they'd kill Obi. He was still alive about a week later, however, when Chester and I happened to be in the country not far from his ranch and rode over to have a look.
They're at home, all right, Mr. Dillon. My gracious, they must be roasting a calf with all that smoke coming out of the chimney.
Wait a minute, Chester.
Huh?
Watch that smoke a minute.
What?
Now just watch. Now, there, you see?
Why, it's puffing. It's starting and stopping every now and again.
Yeah.
Maybe the chimney's got something stuffed up in it.
Maybe.
You know, if you couldn't see the house, you'd think it was Indian signaling. You stop now.
Let's leave our horses here, huh, Chester?
Yes, sir.
Now, Chester, when we get inside, don't say anything about how that smoke looked.
You mean you think it was a signal, Mr. Dillon?
We'll see. Anybody home?
Who is it?
Is that you, Ella?
Marshal Dillon, what are you doing out here?
Oh, we were nearby, so we thought we'd stop and say hello.
Well, that's fine, Marshal. But I can't ask you, and I'm busy cleaning house.
Oh?
You'd better come back some other time. I'd love to see you then.
Sure. Where's Obi?
Obi? Oh, he went off somewhere this morning. I don't expect him back till late. Next time, Marshal, you come see us next time. I'll cook you dinner or something.
That's okay, Ellis. We'll see you another time.
Sure. You do that, Marshal. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Come on, Chester.
Well, I declare, Mr. Dillon, I never got treated like that in my whole life. Not by nobody.
She wasn't expecting us, Chester. It had her upset.
I don't care. That's no excuse for not even offering a man a cup of coffee.
She didn't want us in the house. In fact, I don't think she wants us anywhere around here.
Hey, where are we going?
Well, I want to take a look in the barn. And if Obi isn't out here, we're going back to the house.
Well, but Ella said he took off for somewhere this morning.
Ella was kind of nervous, Chester. Maybe she didn't mean it. Here we are. Obi Tater.
Stand right where you are. Don't move, either of you.
Hey, he's got a shotgun.
It's Marshal Dillon, Obi, and Chester.
Oh. Sorry, Marshal. I couldn't see it first. I was in the back there, and I heard the door open, and I seen two men stand here. Can't blame me for being jumpy.
That's all right, Obi. But what are you doing in here? Ella told us you weren't around.
Ella told us. Well, it does a lot of talking these days.
So what is it, Obi? Something wrong between you two?
Something wrong. Marshal Dillon, I owe you an apology.
What for?
For not listening to you back in Dodge. You was right about the whole thing. All that woman married me for was my gold money. And I've told her I ain't got none, but she won't listen.
All that talk won't hurt you, Obi. But there's something else that might.
Well, she does more than talk, Marshal. The woman's a devil, that's what she is.
Well, what do you mean, what's she been doing?
Well, she won't feed me for one thing. She won't even boil my coffee. It started the first night we got here, Marshal. As soon as I show her my gold money, she says she'll be a good wife. I tried to tell her the place is hers, what she need money for, even if I had it.
Well, for land's sake, I never heard of a wife that wouldn't cook for a man.
Oh, that ain't all, Chester. Where do you think I've been sleeping? Out here in the barn, that's where. Can't even sleep in my own house. She says she'll run off into the prairie if I come anywhere near.
Well, of all the... Obie, if a woman done that in Texas, you'd have a right to give her back.
I don't want to give her back. She's so darn pretty. And besides, there's something else. She ain't going to devil me no more.
What?
After tonight, she said. She said after tonight it's all over. She said she won't give me no more trouble.
After tonight, huh?
And that's what she said, Marshal.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Go get our horses and bring them into the barn where they can't be seen, huh? And when you get back, you and Opie and I are going to go into the house and sit down and wait. For tonight.
Might as well sit down, Ella. You just wear yourself out walking around that way.
I got nothing to do with this, I tell you. I never heard of Mitch McQuaid.
Then you shouldn't worry about it, Ella. We'll find out if you know him when they get here.
You're awful smart, aren't you, Marshal? I wasn't signaling to nobody, neither. I was just trying to put the fire out.
Sure.
There's some horses coming up outside, Mr. Dillon.
Huh?
It's too dark to tell, but I think there's two of them.
All right, Chester. Come on. You and I'll wait in the kitchen.
I sure wish I had my gun, Marshal.
No, Obie. Ella would have seen to it you weren't armed. And we'll have them covered, so don't worry.
You're making a big mistake, Marshal.
Never mind that, Ella. You just remember what I told you. Give us away and your friends will die.
They're not my friends!
Come on, Chester.
They're going to be some surprise, ain't they, Mr. Dillon?
Well, I hope so, Chester. Here, we better get back out of the light.
There they come, Mr. Dillon.
Quiet now.
Evening, Obie. Mitch, you remember Obie Tater?
Sure. He looks better than when I last seen him, though.
Wait,
listen.
You're making a mistake.
What?
Shut up, Ella.
He's going to give us away,
Mr. Yeah, all right, heads up, Chester. All right, don't move, either one of you.
What is this? Who are you?
Get your hand away from that gun, Quaid.
You're caught now, Quaid. You and Mitch both. He'll fix you. That's Marshal Dillon from Dodge.
Marshal?
Ella's double-crossed us, Quaid.
No, I didn't. I tried to tell you.
You signaled we was to come in. You know nobody double-crosses me, Ella. Nobody.
Don't do it, Quaid. All right, Mitch. You're next.
I got my hands up, Marshal. I ain't drawn.
Quaid shot her, Marshal. He done killed her.
Chester.
Yes, sir.
Get Mitch's gun.
Yes, sir. Come on, give it to me. Get your hand away.
Who'd think any man could be low enough to shoot a woman?
She double-crossed him. That's why he did it.
No, Mitch. Ella had nothing to do with the marshal being here.
She signaled us to ride in tonight. That meant she'd given up and she was going away with us.
Given up?
If Ella couldn't find his money, nobody could. You're nothing but an old liar, Obie Tater. You ain't got no money at all.
A liar. I told everybody 1,000 times I ain't got no money.
It doesn't matter now, Obie. Chester, take Mitch outside and tie him up.
Yes, sir. Come on, Mitch, outside. Get moving.
All right.
I'm going to use your own rope to tie you up with.
All right.
She's dead, Marshal.
I'm sorry, Obie. I just wasn't fast enough.
It wasn't your fault, Marshal. You know something?
What, Obie?
I was awful fond of her. ruinous as she treated me. She was so doggone pretty. And I'd have told her she just acted like a wife should. That's all she had to do. Them other fellas could have killed me before I'd have told them. But I'd have told Ella.
Well, what are you talking about, Obie? You'd have told Ella what?
About my gold money.
Your money?
It's in the rain barrel outside, Marshal. A whole big sack full of gold double eagles.
What? You mean you had that money all the time?
Sure, it's true. But, you won't tell nobody, will you, Marshal?
No, Obie, I won't tell anybody.
By Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Virginia Gregg, Vic Perrin, and Barney Phillips. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 30th, 1954 on CBS. That same script would be adapted for the Gunsmoke TV series on October 15th, 1955. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark the Vanier. Thanks for tuning in.